ended up back there. He's answering my question when he got here early. Anyway, I like to recall this road here in Fuller. And we want to do the invocation and everything first, Greg. Oh, we'll get to it. And the invocation is going to be Pastor Richard Graff from the Curie Memorial Church.
Looks like you might have a short agenda, so can I preach a sermon and take up Let us pray. Lord God, ruler of the universe, whose Son lived by a sea and loved sailing upon it, make us thankful for the gift of living in this place. Make us constantly mindful of the responsibilities we have in caring for it. May this meeting reflect that thanksgiving and responsibility. Especially today, we pray with hearts of compassion for those whose life journeys have been disrupted by storms of nature and of man's own making. And always we pray for wisdom to know it's better to build bridges than walls, to let in than to keep out, and to know we don't know it all. Bless the good work of those assembled here. May they always put your people and your creation ahead of the things we've made, accumulated, and even made planned. This weekend, as some of us consider a cross of long ago, we remember what great love you have for us. On Sunday, we'll praise you for the power you have over our greatest enemy, death. And today, as we begin the celebration of Passover, we acknowledge the deliverance of your people from bondage to greed and prejudice and power. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam. Praised are you, O Lord God, ruler of the universe. With respect to people of all faiths, I pray through faith in my Lord, the risen Prince of Peace, possibilities, and promise, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're having a public hearing tonight, and we've had one person and has everybody got a copy of which ordinances are going to go? Any questions? Craig, would you like to step up? Craig is chairman of our Planning and Zoning Board.
Okay, this is a recommendation that we're bringing before the council, having to do with the basically the zoning map. Again, as a little bit of a background, Curie Beach has a zoning process that is driven by industry specifications, in particular SIC codes, where we have a variety of different zoning categories, and in each one of those zoning categories there are allowable uses, and those allowable uses are defined by the Standard Industrial Classification Code, which is an industry code. Nothing unusual about that. Probably the majority of communities throughout the United States do it this way. In the last couple months, when reading this on some other things, we noticed that there were some inconsistencies, actually, in the code. In particular, for example, you might have a list of industries that would be allowed in a B2 type of zone, but they weren't the same industries that would be allowed in a B1. So what we did is we went through and we made everything consistent. We made the language consistent, and if something was allowed, let's say a business was allowed in a B2 type of zoning, then they should be allowed in a B1 sort of thing. So our first set of recommendations really have to do with kind of cleaning up the SIC codes. In fact, if anything, it allows more things than what we had previously, because now we're defining a little bit broader category in the B1 categories and so forth. But certainly doesn't affect any local business. Second thing that we did is that there was a bit of confusion about the issue of uses. For example, if a particular business is in a particular area, and let's say they're a retail business, are they allowed to have manufacturing as part of that retail? And there was some confusion in terms of the attorneys, in terms of the exact definition of that. And so what we did is we cleaned up the language simply. We said that if you're going to do something in your business, it had to be an allowable use. So that means that if somebody wanted to do, let's say, a manufacturing operation, and have a retail outlet in the front, both manufacturing and retail would have to be allowed in that particular zoning category. So again, just cleaned up the language in terms of that. The third thing that we did is that there's already an existing ordinance regarding the special use permit. Special use permit is designed that if you have a particular use that you want to perhaps look at a little more carefully and maybe put some restrictions on it. A good example would be, let's say a movie theater wanted to come here. You might want to restrict the hours to closing at 2 o'clock in the morning so they couldn't show movies at 4 or 5 in the morning and disrupt neighbors. This is a very typical sort of thing for a special use permit. Again, almost every community has a special use permit. So what we did is, again, we went through the various SIC codes and we marked some additional uses that we felt would be typically under a special use permit. So we identified those, I think, with an S now in terms of a special use permit. And then the fourth thing that we did is that because the SIC codes are defined relatively broad, we're using what are called 4-digit SIC codes, which are relatively broad. There were a few uses that we felt that would be under that particular SIC code that we would recommend not be allowed within Curie Beach, for example, adult bookstores and things like that. So what you see is there's one category where we specify a couple uses that we recommend. Even though the SIC code is allowed in that particular zoning category, that particular use, such as an adult bookstore, would not be allowed. And those were basically the four things that we're bringing to you. It's basically cleaning up and better defining special use permits and so forth. I think there was also, and I don't have the recommended ordinance in front of us, but I think Emily mentioned or found two situations where there's a semicolon and there should be slightly different language there. And again, you have that in front of you that you may want to bring up. So, are there any questions?
Which language, Emily?
On page 4, under amend to read R2 district number 3, at the end of that paragraph, it says, and that no accessory building shall be used for such home occupations. But on the next page, under RA2T and under RA2T amend to read, section 4, on both of those sections, the last paragraph says, and that no accessory building, semicolon, used for such home occupations. There shouldn't be a semicolon. It should say shall be. It should be shall be instead of a semicolon.
And then again, that's part of cleaning up the language. We have the same language in all the categories. And again, there's some language differences.
Craig, there was one part about the gaming machine. Do you want to address that?
Yes. There are, again, about some allowable uses, and I believe we have 3 or 4 different things that we defined that even though that use would be allowed, for example, gaming machines would be under amusement, the amusement SIC code. I think we have adult bookstores that we suggest not be allowed. That would be under the SIC category of bookstores. Adult videos stores, which would be under, again, the category of video stores or things, and we also recommended that under amusement or I think maybe 2 or 3 different SIC codes associated with that, that the gaming machines not be allowed. So I think we have either 3 or 4 different
avenues
associated with that. But again, adult bookstores, gaming machines, and adult video stores, I believe, are the 3 that we have to set up.
Adult-oriented dancing.
Yes, that's right, adult-oriented dancing. We had a good discussion on that.
I thought we hit that one out.
Did we? I can't remember. I know we had
no, it's down there.
It is down there.
All right.
John was arguing that direction.
Are you vacation?
Well, you're talking about the one that burnt down?
He's got another appointment.
That's okay. I'll try to stay for the other.
No, I'm just thinking that this is a good, I'm sure it will have to be
looked at, you know, and but as it goes along, but we needed this for a long time, I believe.
Mr. Attorney?
You need to have the public hearing portion of it?
Well, I'm going to ask, I can ask it. Thank you. Persons who signed it up to address is Charlie, and you're up.
Charlie Allo, Fury Beach, previously zoning. In reference to SIG, that sort of evolved because originally we were having problems with very general descriptions, commercial. It covered a wide variety of things. So we decided to implement SIG and essentially break it down into categories. And taking SIG originally, what we did is we applied it to what we already had within in the town. In some areas where we felt there was absolutely no problem with incorporating certain items within it, within the code, we put that down within the district. The districts were separate, and they were meant to be separate at the time. You wouldn't necessarily, because you had one in B2, allow it in B1. They were distinct districts. And the general idea was that you had a progression away from certain areas related to what was going on. We have another distinct problem here, which needs to be looked at, and it needs to be looked at from a very practical standpoint, and that's the heart of our town happens to have an intersection, 421 and K, which is also our two main roads. We cannot block that area and expect to have a vibrant commercial area of any kind. After a while, people will wind up saying, hey, I can't park down there, I can't move down there, I'm not going down there. So we need to take these things into consideration. Another thing that needs to be taken into consideration is going south. You go south of East Street, and there is no other way to get down to 421 other than Fort Fisher Boulevard. That's it. You don't have any back roads that you can go to get onto K and get onto down. Most of the things that planning and zoning are recommending for the SIG code, I agree with. There are some areas such as allowing the zoning administrator to make calls on whether an item that is found to be that they want to put in the SIG code, but they can't find it in the SIG code, to pick out from the SIG code area what category that's going to fit in. I think almost every SIG code that exists has a category, and we need to be looking at it that way. And I would prefer to take that out of an individual's discretion and have that go through the process of planning and zoning and then council ruling on it. My reasons for doing something like that is I don't want individuals to wind up taking actions that are going to hold and create problems for us in the future. And that's been done quite a few times. The other thing that I have a problem with is the initiation of our special use. Special use has a lot of qualifications to it. Our main objective in the past related to special use is that our main objection to it has been the fact that this particular item is used for political purposes. quite frequently, and that creates problems in the tenant. I would prefer to see outlined in our ordinance guidelines for the granting of special use and have it go through the normal process. The statutes give enough guidelines so that if they're applied properly, this can be done. It's going to take some work. My main objection to the special use is I don't want it being used as a political tool. And that happens quite often. The other thing that I have is related to B4. We no longer have income international legal. They're not here as testing. They have sold all their property. There's no reason to just strike that out. For all intents and purposes, B4 can be renamed RA1A and fit within that category and adjacent to the property that's surrounding it. Okay? Any questions?
We can ask any questions, Sean.
Okay, that's right.
All right, that was the only person we had signed up to address council for public hearing. Do I have a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The public hearing is closed. Thank you, Craig. We'll get move to approve the consent agenda. Anything to be added?
There are a couple of mistakes in the, I'm sorry guys, I read this time. There are a couple of mistakes in the minutes for our last council meeting. Do you want me to tell you what they are?
They need to be amended.
Or it is, well, one is my name is misspelled Nancy on page 7. But on page 16, the part about paper trash bag partnership, it was with Ace Hardware and True Value. And it wasn't just up until the 14th. They're doing it for the whole rest of the season or for as long as we want them to.
But that's not what was actually said at the meeting.
Okay, well, I did say True Value because it was both of them. And under number 8, I really didn't understand what number 8 is. Notification to out-of-state property owners requesting them to contact their state representatives to talk about sand. What about the sand? Feature nourishment or what?
Well, the sand, I thought was pretty clear that.
Yeah, but to somebody reading this.
Sand was that the president has zeroed out the Army Corps of Engineer budget, and the trip we took to Washington was to meet with our state federal elected officials. And
you want property owners to contact them?
Which was conveyed in our newsletter. Asked them to contact their elected officials in Washington and let them know that the Army Corps of Engineer is not an earmark, it is a necessity.
Yeah, this was specifically the out-of-state people, so they get an understanding more than just the locals.
Yeah, I knew that. It's just somebody reading this would have no idea what they were supposed to do
about things. The downside of that is, unfortunately, she has to print what we say. And most of the time, there are times when what we say isn't really clear.
That's the best you can. As amended?
I make a motion to approve.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Okay, adoption of the agenda. And we have one change. Sean Allen with the University, well, you're not with the University tonight.
No, not this evening.
He's going to do a presentation on the plastic bags, and Sean, if you'd like to start the presentation, this would be appropriate time.
Sure.
Do I have a motion to amend the agenda to include Sean?
Aye.
Second.
Nancy, I have no idea who did what there.
I
knew
it.
Okay. Nancy, you then? Sean? You will be up?
Yeah, that's Nick Jerry. Comes on up if I shut it down. Just
any other changes to the agenda? Andy? I'd like to go into a closed session right after Sean's presentation. So with the town attorney and to employee or personnel, and also to consult with him about a department head. I'll approve. We have a motion to amend the agenda to go into a closed session just now. At that time.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.
All right,
Sean.
Ladies and gentlemen of the board, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate you having me today. And thank you for giving me some of your time this evening. My name is Sean Allen. I'm a board of director of Surf Rider Foundation International, which is a grassroots nonprofit organization, 501c3, based out of San Clemente, California. It was founded in 1984. It exists for the sole purpose of the protection and enjoyment of our oceans, waves, and beaches. And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about our Rise Above the Plastics campaign, and specifically the plastic grocery bag process that we are advocating about here in the United States and around the world. So I'm just going to go ahead and start the presentation. Just so you know a little bit of my background here in the area, I'm a 18-year resident of southeastern North Carolina. I moved here from South Jersey, where I grew up. I went on to receive my Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. And then again, in the last few years, I finished off my Master's of Business Administration from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who I am, but while I do this, I encourage you to kind of think about who you are and kind of answer your questions. When I say I am, you kind of think about a little bit about who you are in relation to your community and your relationship with the environment. Number one, I'm a resident of New Hanover County. I'm a landowner here, I'm a taxpayer, and I'm employed in New Hanover County. I'm an educator. I have the good fortune to be able to work at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, where I teach a class in environmental leadership. And I'm also an assistant director in our housing program, where we build community, hopefully sustainable communities. I'm a coastal enthusiast. I've been my entire life. I grew up on the coast of southern New Jersey, and I learned most of my valuable life lessons with my grandfather in the marsh behind our house, where he ran a marina, and I captured bait fish for his customers. It was quite a blissful childhood. I'm also a surfer, so I'm on the beach every day, every morning, every evening. I make sure I make my way to the ocean at least once a day, just to make sure that it's still there. Again, I'm a board of director with Surf Rider Foundation, which is located on every major continent now. And I'm seriously concerned about the plastics in our marine environment, as I hope that most of you are as well, being that you live in such a beautiful community. I want to talk to you a little bit about what Rise Above the Plastics is. In its essence, Rise Above the Plastics is an awareness education program that hopefully activates people to take action in their local communities. What we want to, what we want people to do is activate to reduce the impact of plastics in our marine environment. And we want to do that by raising awareness about all the danger that the plastic pollution causes us. And we're going to go through this a little bit and as we go on. So we really were looking for reduction of single-use plastic and recycling of all plastics. And why is this program so important? The number one problem is that we're accumulating a lot of plastic in our society. This is the legacy that we are leaving future generations as we go on, plastics. Okay? This is the Santa Monica River, which empties out into the Pacific Ocean. This is 1 hour of rainfall in LA County. This is, we have the good fortune at this point in time that the sieve that collects trash in that river was out, the boom there, that collected all that plastic trash that washed off the city streets and into the river, which would eventually make its way out into the oceans. Okay? It's very widely documented that there's now 5 plastic gyres in our 5 oceans. So there's a plastic gyre in the North Atlantic, the South Atlantic, the North Pacific, the South Pacific, and one in the Indian Ocean. My hunch is that there's probably a gyre of plastic in the Mediterranean and also in the South China Sea.
And what is a gyre?
A gyre is basically the empty space. In your oceans, you have currents that circle, okay? And as they circle, and I hate to think of it this way, but think about your toilet and when you flush your toilet. The gyre is the dead space where the water sucks down. Well, the water can't go anywhere because there's no vacuum there. But as the space goes around this way and the currents move around, well, in the Northern Atlantic, it would go this way, all right? In the center of the ocean, there's no current activity. And basically all trash, just basically all flotsam and jetsam in the ocean basically collects in that area, and that would be considered your gyre. Of this plastic, 60-80% of all marine debris is composed of plastic. That's 60-80% of the things found in our ocean are composed of plastic. All right? And 80% of this marine debris doesn't come from cruise ships or fishing boats as they go out there and throw their bottles overboard. This is all land-based sourced plastic. This is a serious problem. If you notice that we are in a watershed, basically, our watershed reaches from the Appalachian mountain chain and runs down. So any kind of trash that's on the streets, say in Asheville or Charlotte or Raleigh or anywhere in between, is eventually going to make its way into the tributaries, into the rivers, then eventually into the intercoastal, and then it's going to flow right out into the ocean here. And what it's causing is a lot of mortality in our marine life. These are two very telling pictures. I know that in Curie Beach and Carolina Beach, or Pleasure Island, for example, that you guys have a really active sea turtle monitoring program. Well, one of the animals most impacted by these marine plastics are turtles. As a matter of fact, there's over 100,000 marine mammals that die each year from ingestion or entanglement in plastics. And over 1 million seabirds are impacted. Okay, again, this is from the 60-80% of marine debris that's plastic, that's coming from land-based sources. But it goes a little bit further than that. Think back to the end of World War II when we were coming out of the Great Depression and we'd just won a war, we had all this new technology and we were motivating our economy and spurring it on with a lot of single-use stuff, plastic plates, plastic forks. We didn't want to have to wash the dishes, supposedly. And we became this consumer and throwaway society, and we've generated a lot of plastics. And as you can see, as plastic manufacturing processes became more refined in the 1960s up until present day, our plastic generation has shot up into the 24 million tons of plastic generated per year. Okay. Of that plastic that was generated, look at how much has been recovered. So we're generating plastic at a rate that cannot possibly keep up with our rate of recovery. Alright? Just so that you know that each year over 24 billion pounds of single-use plastic packaging is produced. One of the things that I would ask you guys to think about is, When was the last time that you went to the grocery store? Now think about when was the last time that you went to the grocery store and didn't buy something that was wrapped in plastic. I honestly can tell you that for the past 5 months, it's been my personal goal to go to the grocery store and buy things without plastic, and I'm unable to do it because I like to drink coffee and I like my half and half. And even half and half now that comes in carton containers has a plastic spout and a plastic lid on it. It's becoming harder every day to buy stuff without plastic. So what are the costs of these plastics? And this is something that I think everybody should really think about. This is in the U.S. alone. We're not talking about China or anywhere else that's basically taking the U.S. model of economic growth. But right now in the United States alone, it's an estimated 12 million barrels of oil are used to make plastic shopping bags that Americans consume. 12 million barrels, which works out to about 100 billion bags per year. Think about the cost of that. Today I went on the Consumer Price Index and the barrel of crude oil was $108.06 a barrel. Manufacturing a plastic bag uses 4% of the world's total oil production. All right? That's 9 plastic bags is greater than driving your car 6/10 of a mile in terms of impact on the earth. That means that we basically are doing the equivalent of driving a car 6.67 billion miles or more than 35 round trips from the earth to the sun per year, just in plastic bags. So we say, let's recycle, so let's increase our recycling efforts. Generation curve is up here, the recycling curve is down here. Naturally, it makes sense to increase your recycling, your recovery curve. Again, I have my MBA, so that's how I think. Well, each ton of recycled bags saves the energy equivalent of 11 barrels of oil. That's a ton of bags is 11 barrels of oil. So it takes 800 million pounds of bag and were produced in 2007. All these bags were basically made from natural gas-derived petroleum. Only 1-3% of these bags end up getting recycled. And so I stopped and I asked myself, why? You know, why do these bags stop getting recycled? People lazy? People just don't do it? Well, it's not that. It's simple economics. It basically costs $4,000 to process and recycle 1 ton of plastic bags. And then that recycler has to go out and sell them on an open commodities market, and they only get $32 for it. The math just doesn't add up. So what's so bad about plastic? I mean, it makes our life easy, right? Well, number one, plastic never goes away. It'll be here forever. Plastic will only photodegrade. But that's a little bit different than biodegrading. Photodegrading means basically when exposed to UV light and UVA and UVB from the sun, it breaks down into smaller and smaller pieces, but it never quite goes away. All right? And these pieces, as they wash out into our water streams, are then mistaken by fish and birds and marine mammals and reptiles as food. And when they consume so much of this food, they starve to death because their stomachs get so full of the plastic that they can't ingest any more food. Another little level of that is that all this plastic contains a chemical called bisphenol A, or BPA. I'm sure we've all heard of this, BPA. And it's basically an organic compound that's used to make polycarbonate plastics and epoxy resins. Well, in 2010, the Food and Drug Administration raised strong concerns regarding exposure of our fetuses, infants, and young children to BPA. And as a matter of fact, the European Union and Canada had a little bit stronger stance against BPA and banned it in all baby bottles. This is a picture of plastic. All right? This is a bottle of photodegraded plastic that was collected by one person on one beach in one visit to the beach. So in general, studies have shown that BPA can affect growth, reproduction, and development in aquatic organisms. And against freshwater organisms, where the rivers and the lakes where this stuff is originally washing into, the most sensitive of the species happens to be fish. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite meals is trout. I also like mahi and other top predator fish. BPA can contaminate the environment either directly through degradation of products containing BPA, such as ocean-borne plastic. And according to Captain Charles Moore, the person who discovered the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, it's been found that there are 6 pounds of plastic for every pound of plankton in the area. This is what we're doing to our birds. We also have a lot of turtles around here, and turtles ingest marine debris. I don't know how many of you paid attention to that very first slide where the bags were suspended in the water column, but they look like jellyfish. All right? And so turtles ingest this. And basically, when they did a study on turtles in the Western Mediterranean, 79.6% of those turtles had plastic. In southern Brazil, they had 68.5% of plastics, and 56% of the turtles in Florida contained plastics. There are at least 267 different species known to man that have suffered from entanglement or ingestion of marine plastics, and this includes things like seabirds, turtles, seals, sea lions, whales, and fish. Basically, plastic debris is found floating in all the world's oceans everywhere, from the polar region to the equator. That's one of our friendly dolphins using a plastic bag as a dorsal fin or as a pectoral fin. And basically, BPA is a pretty nasty chemical, and it's been known to cause issues with obesity, neurological issues, thyroid function, breast cancer, neuroblastoma, prostate development cancer, and a host of other things. All right. And if you know anything about bioconcentration, as the fish, the smaller fish, are eaten by the larger fish, the chemical will intensify in the species as it moves up the food chain. And most of the fish that we eat are predator fish, so they're at the top of the food chain. Just think tuna, mahi, all predator fish. Okay? Tuna has already been linked to high levels of mercury. Most pregnant women are advised not to eat tuna because of high level mercury. Same process, this is with BPA. In essence, basically what we're doing is we're poisoning ourselves. We're poisoning our food stream for the very base level up, because plankton in the ocean is the base level of our food stream. And if you think about the status of our healthcare system right now, depending on what your thoughts are on that, as this intensifies and becomes more and more of a problem, the financial impact on that healthcare system would just grow to be astronomical. All right. Basically, you can see this, but there were more than 10 million pieces of garbage picked up on ocean beaches in 2009 during an intercoastal cleanup day. Of those 10 million pieces, 1,126,000 of them were plastic bags. Plastic bags are the second largest marine debris on our beaches, right behind cigarette butts and filters, which is a whole nother story. But it accounts for 11% of all marine debris picked up on our world's beaches. And it's costing us money, lots of money. And money in ways you don't even think about. Alright? As a matter of fact, it costs money to go out and do beach cleanups and clean up an environment. And basically, plastic pollution is costing almost $1.3 billion annually, and it also threatens the fishing, shipping, and tourism industries. Think about our area. Think what people come here for. Total cost of litter collection in the U.S. last year was estimated to be $11.5 billion annually, and it's businesses that are bearing the burden of this cost, and they're paying almost 79.5% of the cost of litter abatement. In the California waste stream, 123,000 tons of plastic grocery and merchandise bags made up that stream, and it's costing about 17 cents per bag to clean them up. And San Francisco estimates it spends $8.5 million annually to clean up bags. All right. In cities and states around the county and counties in California, $1.3 billion is spent on general litter abatement, and all this money is coming out of taxpayers' pockets. That's $1.3 billion that could be going to public services like better education, parks, libraries, and public safety. And it's the retailers who are going to tell you that it costs them more money to not give plastic bags. But actually, supermarkets are spending between $1,500 to $6,000 a month on plastic bags that they give to you. And it's such a big cost in their line items that places like Target and CVS are realizing this and giving incentives to people to bring their own bags. Further, stores pay about 2 to 5 cents per bag, and all these costs are embedded in the food costs that you pay every time that you go to the grocery store. All right. People say, well, if we don't use plastic, maybe we should go to paper. But paper bags aren't a very good environmentally decision to go to as a replacement, because the production of paper bags contributes to things like deforestation, greenhouse gas emission, and additional waterborne waste. And basically, stores pay about 5 to 25 cents per bag, and these costs are also embedded in your food costs. So what's the solution? I painted a pretty bleak picture. But there are some solutions. Number one is grassroots activism. And I was very interested in Curie Beach went to the paper bag for the yard waste. That's a really great step forward, and I applaud you for that. But I think we can do more as a community to do this. Number one, education awareness. We do presentations to communities, presentations to schools. We're very active in media and websites. But our next step is advocating for legislative change, where we establish local ordinances against polystyrene bags and bottles, and then hopefully statewide or federal legislation about bag fees, bans, and bottle recycling. That's why I'm here today, because I would hope that you guys would think about considering some kind of local ordinance, or even approaching your county commissioner about a countywide bag ban or bag fee. And I'm going to talk a lot more about the bag fee, because I think it makes a lot more economic sense for our communities. We've been pretty successful. We've just started this in the last few years, and we've already got a few states on here that are on board. We actually should be, North Carolina should be highlighted here, because Dare County has a three county, Dare County, Hayden County, and I can't remember the third county, but they all have a bag ban in place.
Currituck
County, thank you very much. They all have a bag ban in place. And right now, actually, you have some senators that are looking to repeal that bag ban. And so if this is something that you believe in, you should definitely write your local senator and tell them not to pass the bill to repeal bag bans. But we've been successful, and we're hoping to move forward. In New York, we created what was called the Bigger Better Bottle Bill, which passed in April 2009. Basically, it's kind of a deposit on your bottles, and it's to get the recyclable people to bring their recyclable bottles back, because there's a fee associated with it, so they're making money off of it. And basically, vendors to return at least 80% of their unclaimed funds. And basically, right now, the Bigger Better Bottle Bill is generating $115 million annually for the state general fund from people not returning the money back. Most of that money is coming from people who are actually already recycled. The people who don't recycle typically take the bottle back to get their 5 or 10 cents. In L.A., L.A. County has passed a bag on single-use bags and a 10-cent fee on paper bags. So they said no to plastic, and said if you're going to use paper bags, it would cost you 10 cents. They actually did a full environmental impact report. I have a copy of that. If you would like me to email it to you, I'd be happy to share it. They employed economic data for litter cleanup costs, and other cities follow suit. Most of the cities have followed suit. But the one that I want to talk about most is the plastic bag fee and the single-use bag fee that happened in our nation's capital, D.C. In June 2009, they passed the Anacostia River Cleanup Act. Everybody knows about the Anacostia River. It used to be a very large shipping river that since went away, and it was a recreational river and drains into the Chesapeake Bay watershed. It became very polluted over time. In order to help clean that up, most of which is plastic bottles and bags that they're finding in the river, they implemented this bag fee in D.C. And And basically, they went from giving 3.3, they went from giving 22.5 million bags in 2009 to only issuing 3.3 million bags in 2010. Basically, what the act said is that all retailers that sell food in the district charge 5 cents for each plastic or paper bag they distribute. Okay? What they do with that 5 cents is 1 or 2 cents of that fee stay with the retailer, so the retailer makes some money off of it. The rest of the money goes to a fund that goes to clean up the Anacostia River, and it also pays for reusable bags and educational campaigns for low-income, elderly, and other needy residents. In only 3 weeks of the 5 cent fee, demand for bags at grocery stores dropped 50 to 60%. It's very impactful. Over time, there was an 86% decrease in single bag use. Okay? And the city of LA actually said that worked so well that they recommended using a 10 cent fee. Dallas Ferguson Foundation, which is a foundation that does environmental cleanup and cleanups on beaches and riverbeds in the DC area, noticed a reduction in plastic bag litter by 66% in all their river cleanups that year. This is an idea of the monthly income coming in. In February and March of the first year that this program was initiated, they raised $170,000 and followed by $193,000, and that's attributed, the increase is attributed to more businesses being compliant. Except it cut down the number of bags that were being used. But if you were staying with the bag usage rate of the year prior, you would have raised $1.1 million. That's still pretty solid revenue to decrease your bag usage by that much. So I guess my question for you all is, what should we do here in Kure Beach and in New Hanover County and the state of North Carolina? Certainly we have the environment that's based around the marine environment here. We have very beautiful natural resources and rivers throughout our state, beautiful lakes. It's my belief that we really should implement a bag fee, and I really would like to use the word fee over a tax because people don't like taxes. But a fee is not something that you're saying somebody has to use. A fee says you have the choice of using a paper or plastic bag, but you have to pay for it. Otherwise, you can bring your own reusable bag to the grocery store. And then if somebody does buy a bag, what do you do with that money? And I say that we find a worthy environmental cause in our community that we often rally around. In D.C., they use the Anacostia River. It's a really great. Giving people pride in their community again. Well, what can we use here in North Carolina? In New Hanover County, I suggest that we use it to maintain and acquire more green space. If you look at New Hanover County, it has one of the lowest per capita acres of green space in all the state of North Carolina. And in 2010, Ken Little, a reporter for the Star News, reported that we have 0.007 acres of green space per person in New Hanover County. And what does that do? It forces the people who want to recreate outside to our coastal communities and puts strong impact on our beach resources. By placing a fee on single-use bags, you'll be able to generate some revenue. That revenue stream can then go ahead to help people of low income afford those reusable bags. We can provide education to our communities about what marine plastics are doing. And then we can create funds for reinvestment in our communities. In essence, I'm asking you guys to rise above the plastics. We have a baggy documentary. We would like you to come out. We'll send you an invitation to the documentary with the people that actually made it. And we'll send you an invitation in the mail here shortly. One of the websites that I would push you towards is Rise Above the Plastics. There's a lot of useful information, some PSAs if you want to educate yourself further. And lastly, there's a worldwide movement to this. This is not something that is just in America. This is going around the world. And in fact, Rwanda and 18 other developing countries have regulated their use of plastic bags. There's 35 countries at the 5th Annual International Marine Debris Conference, and they're coming up with different priority actions and commitments from different areas. And in fact, out of this conference, the whole island of Oahu joined the other two islands of Kauai is a big island and have banned all single-use plastic and plastic bags on their islands. But really, what it comes down to is you. And how do you rethink your consumer habits? Anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Have you taken this to the county commissioners?
I actually have a copy that I'll leave with you of a great little letter that I wrote to all the senators of the state of North Carolina, and started with Tom Goolsbee, who's our local senator. I'm actually going on a kind of presentation schedule. You guys were the first. Thank you very much for hearing me out. I'll make my way to Carolina Beach and Curie Beach. The county commissioners seem to be under the idea that if two beach communities request this, then they'll hear the idea as well.
So we have to ask them to invite you to?
I think that what they want to know is if beach communities would be interested in something like this. Is this something that you guys see as being impactful? Is this something that you see as something that's impacting your marine environments? Are your beaches, I live here. Your beaches are clean. You have a lot of people that clean them up every day. But, you know, when I walk down the street on a windy day, what do I see blowing towards the ocean? I see plastic bags. I see bottle caps. I see cigarette butts. These are all things that are impacting our marine environment. This is a small step to a larger problem, but I think you have to start somewhere.
Any questions for Sean? Thanks, Sean.
You're welcome.
I'd like to say that last Saturday on my way to Carolina Beach about 6 o'clock in the morning, between here and the Pelican Swatch at the Atlantic Towers, I had 3 plastic bags blowing in front of me. I thought one was a bird, I thought one was a possum. When I got up on them, they were plastic bags that were blowing right towards the ocean. And you know, at some point, I'd please like us to ask our county commissioners to listen to the presentation.
But you don't need, you can present this to them at any time, can't you? What they're asking for is unity from the beach communities.
Yes, sir. They're asking for unity from the beach communities.
Yes.
If they want it to go further.
Right. And which one of the commissioners will you discuss this with?
Rather not say, as it was off the record. Does that make sense?
No, in some of them it does.
I also have worked pretty hand in hand with the Board of Aldermen of Rachel Beach, and they're very interested in hearing our presentation as well. As a matter of fact, they helped me schedule your appointment, and also in the town of Carolina Beach.
Thank you. Session at this time?
Motion. Purpose.
Have a motion to go into closed session?
Make a motion to go into closed
session. Have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, John, Andy, join us.
Don't let her out.
Yes, sir. I'm here sadly to
present to you the resignation of Christopher Richards from the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. He's formally turned it in and says, I, Christopher Richards, formerly residing at 322 South Fort Fisher Boulevard, hereby regretfully resign from Curry Beach Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. I do not wish to resign, but no longer live in Curry Beach, and therefore can no longer serve on this committee due to that fact. I would like to take this opportunity, this is him speaking, I would like to take this opportunity to formally thank the town of Curry Beach for allowing me to serve on this committee. It truly was a great pleasure and honor. I would like to offer my services in any way that I can as Vice President of the Pleasure Island Disc Golf Club. Please feel free to contact me, blah, 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 Christopher Richards. So I submit that to you for your consideration to his resignation. We have one other individual who has moved off the island that has verbally resigned, but he informed me yesterday that he's probably going to be back on the island by the end of the month. And therefore, we'd like to hold back his formal resignation to make sure that he does get back on the island and wants to stay on the committee. And that's Michael Jones. I don't know if you have to vote on this.
If you'll hand those to the clerk, and then she'll retype them, we'll have them next month's packet then. Or do we need to vote on tonight?
You can go ahead and vote on this tonight.
Okay, do I have a motion to accept the resignation? Kevin, you got it?
I'm done.
No, they're over.
Nancy, can I?
You do that.
We have one young man that he was seeing his wife, unfortunately, bought a home over in, where was it?
Just on the way across the bridge.
Yeah. Do I have a motion to accept the resignation of Christopher Richards from the Parks and Recreation Committee?
Silent. Second.
Do I have a second? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. And at the request of the Parks and Recreation Committee, the second request.
Could just leave that.
Yeah, I would like to table that. Just leave it alone.
I didn't hear that.
Okay, thank you. Gaddy, anything else?
I'm like Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing.
Okay. Danny Price, you're next.
He's going to get a letter.
How about
yeah.
Okay,
yes,
that's my guess. Debbie Price, Sutler's Lane. I just wanted to bring to the council's attention and for the record and for the audience that we had two Curry Beach residents who this past Saturday put on a formal high tea quilt show at the Senior Center. And it got rave reviews of being, you know, the right way to have a tea. We had a great time. Miss Emily was there with her pretty black hat, and several Curry Beach residents were there. But I'd just like to recognize Jan Trulove, who did the tea. She bought all the food, prepared all the food, poured all the tea, and bossed us around the kitchen. And Hope Marvin, she collected all the quilts, displayed, you know, got the quilt stands, displayed them, put notes on them, took them down, gave them back to us, and cleaned up. So we have two citizens who did an astounding job on Saturday for the Pleasure Island Petty Behind Senior Center. Just want that to be in the record.
Thank you.
Thank you. Eric. Mr. Eric Mann.
Eric Mann, 733 South Fort, Curry Beach. You ponder the budget for the next month or whatever time frame you will be pondering. There's a couple things I'd like just to recommend. One, I talked to Commissioner Dugan about today. After seeing all the garden trash that was collected this last Thursday, along with all the other things that were collected, I think it would be wise for Curry Beach to put a no-charge collection of yard trash and paper bags for every Thursday. This would greatly reduce the amount of yard trash that's currently going into the garbage cans, and we're paying tipping fees for landfill charges. One, it'll help save the landfill a little bit. The more, I think it'll save us money rather than cost us money rather than charging people. I assure you others other than me routinely put vegetable trash illegally in our hands. So I'd like to recommend that you look.
You're the only one we know
of. Can you believe you're the only sinner in town?
You're on the list.
Enormous amount of waste. It took, matter of fact, we did not get ours picked up on Thursday. Ours wasn't picked up to Friday because they didn't have time. It was a tremendous amount. Sunday's group did a fabulous job.
Oh, yes.
And they worked hard, let me tell you. That's all. The other thing, it pertains to our police department. I'd like to see us follow through with the recommendations of Chief Cooper and to expand it. To hire the one part-time person who has already experienced in Cary Beach and is well-known by many in the community, as well as additional staffing person. There's no question, if you look at the numbers, we can't go back to reserve fund balance the budget this year.
What fund?
We're going to have to have a tax increase.
What was that first one?
There is going to be a tax increase. We need a balanced budget, okay? It needs to balance, not with taking out a reserve fund. So we do need a balanced budget, both at Cary Beach and the county and the state and the federal government, all three. So I'd like to see us absorb that into the tax increase.
Anything else? Any questions, sir? Thanks, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, discussion and consideration of committee business. Tom?
To be honest, Sonny and myself, we do not know how the lighting at Joey's Park ended up. I know we were saying that we needed lights, and Sonny was going to send out a survey to the people in the area, which he did, and he did not receive any negatives back from anyone. So the next part of this would to be for Sonny to get Progress Energy out there to install two lights on the side of the park facing the woods. And it would be, as far as I know, it would be a monthly cost. But I don't think the commissioner has voted that we to give Sonny the okay to go ahead with that. Also, if Progress Energy comes, we would like also to have them come over to the corral and estimate what it would cost to put lighting there, because there's no poles or anything. So when they come over, they can, you know, do two things at one time or reschedule that. But we would like to have your blessing to go ahead to start looking at that lighting there.
So you want permission for Sonny to contact Progress Energy?
Right, for three lights, whatever they decide.
Well, I was going to say I wouldn't put the number
until I
get their recommendation.
Right, to go ahead and install them, and then that would go on a monthly charge, as far as I know, to the town of Cary Beach. It would be two or three lights added, and let them come over to this side and have them develop some kind of a lighting pattern.
And then that's what
you
want.
That's okay.
Does it cost anything to put the lights up at Joey's Park?
I don't think it should. It should be a monthly fee.
Okay, but it would for the corral.
I don't know. I would like to start the research, you know, and see where that leads. They might say, yes, we're going to do it. And then again, they might say, no, it's going to be an additional charge. So I have no idea what they're going to do.
Do I have a motion to let Tony delve into this and come back with a recommendation?
Well, Sonny is the one who's going to do it.
Come back with a recommendation and a call space to the town.
Well, I would like for Joe Eats Park to go ahead and get that done.
Both of them, I mean, do it one time.
But we don't have any cost.
Yeah, we can't do anything without funds.
I mean, what I was hearing you saying is you didn't think that there was a cost, but there might be.
For Joe Weeks Park, there might be a cost.
Yeah, well,
but I like to keep it at two separate entities so Sonny could call up and order the lights.
Well, yeah, I'd like to know what cost, if any, there is with these. And I agree. I think have them down here and then have them do something else while they're down here.
So it will be on hold until next month, until we get a cost factor?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the number and the cost, and any other encumbrances that they may come up with.
Okay. Very good.
Bring us some numbers. Thank you. Anything else from your SLAP, Don?
No, that's it. We're waiting on DOT for a lot of our stuff.
Did you get anything from DOT?
No. Excuse me, just for the record clarification, you want Mr. Gonzalez to bring numbers and costs for the Joe Weeks Park and the corral?
Yes.
Separate.
So you are essentially giving him permission to
get the numbers, yeah.
To get the numbers.
To get the information.
And that would have to be, I guess.
Isn't there a light over where the bicycle thing is now? Isn't there a light right there?
Yeah, but, you know, if you put parking in there, it might not be enough. They would have to come down and look at it, you know, and see if they have to sit in another pole and stuff like that. I don't know what their plan was. But Sonny is going to have to handle that. Nancy? Because I cannot.
The parking numbers go down, and I don't want liability. So, let's get prices on that.
All right, but Sonny would have to handle it because he's
a contact person.
Right. I'm just a chairperson of the committee, and they don't really want to deal with it.
Thanks, Tommy.
Okay, thank you.
You have in front of you the resignation of Paula Swiftroad as chairperson of the street festival. And Nancy, would you read your copy, please? Since you're more elderly than me. I can't find it. Go ahead.
Everybody has it. I don't know what I should do. I'm sorry.
This is dated April 19, 2011. This is to the mayor and council from Paul Whitrow. I resign effective May 1st, 2011 as chairperson of the street festival. I have served 5 years. I feel that it's time for me to move on to other projects. As you know, I've already joined Parks and Recreation Committee. I do want to tell you that I'm most proud of our banners, and I'm pleased that I shared a part of raising the money for them. It is my thrill to see them put up each year. They still look good. I thank each of you for your support and for giving me this opportunity. There are so many wonderful things going on at Fury Beach. I look forward to continuing to serve with you. And her aptly appointed, newly appointed chair, Debbie, is sitting in the audience tonight. You're welcome, Debbie.
Thank you.
I make a motion we don't accept the rest of the night.
Do I have a second?
Which one?
Not accepting.
You know, actually, she didn't resign from being on the committee, did she?
No, this is chairperson.
Rude.
It doesn't make sense. She doesn't realize. She doesn't realize. What's she going to do?
She's only resigned as chairperson.
Well, we don't need to take any action. We don't appoint
chairperson. That's right. We don't appoint chairperson.
That wasn't her.
Right. She stayed on the committee?
That wasn't her intention.
She doesn't intend to, but her letter doesn't say that.
That's right. So,
I think Debbie got an ankle bracelet on.
If you're not specific, that's right.
Well, committees appoint their own chairman, so that's back in your ball.
So it helps. She doesn't know she's still on there.
Well, you guys decide which one wants to tell her.
Oh, we'll tell her.
Give Ken a little notice before you tell her, okay? All right, so we've voted to...
I'm confused. Was there a motion? You're not doing anything?
Not doing anything.
No.
Motion's... Discussion and consideration of department head business. And finance.
I guess what I wanted to go over was back at the council's February meeting, you approved the issuance of an RFP for auditing services for the town. Conducted that process. RFPs were mailed on February 17th, in addition to being posted to the town website. In regard to that, we received four proposals, which I believe is part of the package that was presented to you. We received a proposal from the firm that currently performs their audit, or as of last year did, Thompson Price Scott Adams and Company from Wilmington. We also received a proposal from Martin Starnes and Associates from Hickory, North Carolina. One from S. Preston Douglas and Associates from Whiteville, and one from Bernard Robinson and Company from Greensboro. All four firms were definitely qualified to perform the audit, had the manpower to perform the audit. I did call references that they provided for all four firms. All of them, you know, received good references. One stood out, though, from those firms. And it was also, just happened to be the one that had the lower initial cost also. And that firm was Bernard Robinson and Company from Greensboro. So I guess what I would like to present to council is that we receive that I get your approval to contact them and award them the contract for auditing services for initially, I guess, the first year. We'd like to, they gave us a three-year quote, but you know, it would be a one-year contract initially to make sure that we're satisfied with the services that they provide. I will say they were, all references were highly satisfied with the amount of service that they got, the timeliness of the audit, which was, you know, an issue that we've had in the past. So from everything I can see, they would do a great service to the town.
Do they have anybody locally or?
Not really locally, no. So they're in the Charlotte area, and then also in the Greensboro area, where they're their primary clients.
Were these municipalities? Some of the
yes.
Some of their,
yeah, all the references were municipalities.
Any of them down this way?
There's not really that were any that were that close. The Greensboro area was the closest.
But they no, not
necessarily in this area, but it.
Consider this a problem.
No, with the way audits can be conducted, I guess you know a lot of things will be done electronically with providing our accounting records. They'll probably come here and spend a few days to a week on site to do any work that they need to. And then everything else can be done electronically.
I make a motion to accept Harold's recommendation.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any discussion? We discussed whether the problems we've had in the past with communications.
Yeah, and I definitely highlighted that with everybody I spoke to, you know, making sure that that hasn't been an issue with this firm.
And it's less cost than last year, right?
Yeah, it'll be a savings of about $6,900.
Thank you. Wow.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Arlen, you've got another request for council approval to issue an RFP. Get back
out
there. Well,
where are you going? I guess the recycling contract will be coming due in June. So it's like the council's approval to go ahead and start the process of issuing an RFP and getting proposals for recycling service.
Motion?
I make a motion.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Arlen. John Bales, I got a bit nothing from Harold's system here. Public Works.
Okay.
Discussion and consideration of all business.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I just realized I didn't put, I should have put here under all business with discussion of your proposed amendments at public hearing. I don't know if you want to add that, if you wanted to take action on that tonight or not.
Okay.
That was my mistake.
We've heard, the public hearing tonight. Mary, do you have a question?
No. I guess we just need a proposal to adopt.
Yes. Do I have a recommendation to adopt the P&Z's rewording of the SIC definitions, or?
I make a proposal that we.
A motion.
I'm sorry.
With the amendment?
Right.
No, with the typo.
Right, with the semicolon.
Okay. Do I have a second? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay. Mr. Bodick. Now let's work on moving the businesses up Avenue. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Discussion and consideration of all business resolutions for North Carolina promoting and encouraging development of offshore wind as a renewable energy resource. And this is tabled from the March meeting. It's my recommendation that we didn't adopt at that time because it did not have any wording in it that any of these costs associated with this should follow the same criteria as the federal grants that the workers' workmanship and product should be required to be made in the United States by a United States worker. You have this under Resolution 11-04, and I will read it in support of the development of offshore wind resources by the state of North Carolina. Therefore, let it be resolved that the Town Council of Curie Beach recommends the governor and other state leaders take steps to promote and encourage development of offshore wind as a renewable 21st century energy resource. Among the steps needed, North Carolina should adopt policies that provide regulatory and financial certainty for wind developers, create incentives for manufacturers to locate their facilities in our state, support additional research and detailed modeling of offshore wind resources, facilitate efforts to educate the public on offshore wind, upgrade the electrical transmission grid, prepare for offshore wind projects in federal waters, promote our world-class wind resource and business environment to industry, and lastly, ensure any and all contracts contain requirements that all material must be made in the United States by United States workers. This resolution shall be in full force and effective from after the 15th day of March 2011. Do I have a motion to adopt?
I make a motion to adopt the resolution.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Discussion?
On prepare for offshore wind projects, the third from the bottom, you need a semicolon at the end of that line.
Is this the
and the next line you need
semicolons are
you put semicolons on all the rest of them. And on the promote our world class wind source you need a semicolon.
Her semicolon finger was tired.
With
I'm
a
sure.
Word and after.
I just took the language they provided me. Semicolons. You'll need to okay.
Discussion and consideration of new business, and you're going to table this?
We took care of that.
Okay. We don't need another closed session. Anything else come before council? Anything from Alex?
No.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I do.
Oh, you have something?
No, I'm second.
Okay.